The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
1 John chapter 4, verses 13 to 14. So imagine that you decided that you're going to go sailing. The problem is that you know next to nothing about sailing. So you decide to go to the store and you purchase several books to find out what's involved. So you carefully read these books. Then you even talk to veteran sailors who answer questions for you. And the next day you decide that you're going to rent a sailboat. So you examine it closely to make sure that everything needed for a successful sailing experience is present and the boat is in good working order. You know how to do all this stuff because of all the reading and research and studying that you've done. Your excitement is at a fever pitch, but you're also a little bit afraid, but you're still excited. And you follow the instructions that you've read, the counsel that you received from the experienced sailors, and you launch your boat into the water, and you carefully monitor each step to hoist the sail. At that very moment, you learn a crucial lesson. Crucial lesson. You can study sailing. You might be able to even build your own sailboat. You can seek from the wisest and most veteran of sailors. You can cast your boat into the most beautiful of lakes under a bright and inviting sun. You can successfully hoist the sail, but only God can make the wind blow. And you can also know when you are moving. It means that the wind is blowing. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to take a deeper look at the wind of God that we call and the Bible refers to as the Holy Spirit, who is our reassurance to who we are and what we believe is our reassurance. So much that we are called to do many things which are difficult and sometimes seemingly impossible. I mean, think about it. The Lord asks us to do things, commands us to do things that are difficult, that are seemingly impossible. But did you know that the reason why the Lord calls us to do these impossible things is because the Lord never intended for us to do these things on our own? The Lord intended to send the Holy Spirit to give us the power and the wisdom and the strength to be able to do these things. That's why he can ask us to do this. Love your neighbor as yourself? Huh? Love your enemy as much as I have loved you? Huh? No, that's not going to happen unless something miraculous happens. And that miraculous is absolutely what happens. You ever find yourself in times where something happens and you just, instead of feeling anger towards that person who did something really bad against you, you all of a sudden feel compassion? You ever had those moments where those times happen? And it's just like, I don't know why. You're explaining to your friends, I don't know why. I don't know what happened. Your friends are saying, hey, man, you need to get some revenge on that man. You need to retaliate. Don't let him get away with that. And you're standing there going, I don't know why, but I feel a need to pray for him, not to harm him. Man, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why God can ask you to do the impossible, because when the Holy Spirit's involved, nothing is impossible. I love it. I love it. But what we're called And what we're commanded to do, again, cannot be done without the wind of God, without the Holy Spirit blowing. He never intended us to do any of this stuff without the power of the Spirit. But with our struggles today, our many defeats and the confusion that we have, or maybe not knowing for sure, doubts can arise within us. And we're just not sure anymore. Some may still struggle today with assurance, and it's understandable because we live in a very confusing time, a very uncertain time. Things are just uncertain. We just don't know. We don't know what's going to happen, you know, tomorrow, much less a year from now. Just uncertain with a lot of things. And sometimes we're put in a position where we're not exactly sure what we're supposed to believe. The media tells us one thing. Social media tells us another thing. YouTube tells us another thing. The internet tells us one thing. I mean, it's just all these types of things happen, and we just don't know who's telling the truth. You know, it's one doctor says COVID is deadly. Another doctor says that it's not. Another doctor says that we're overreacting. Another doctor says that. We just don't know. Who's telling the truth? We just don't know what's happening, not knowing what to believe, confused as to what is true and what's not true, general apprehension because we just don't know anymore. But family, we have got to remember something very important. The scriptures do not want us to be in this state of not knowing. Do you know that? The Bible wants us to be sure of things. Certain of things. The Lord desires us to be certain of who we are, certain of what it is that we believe. And last week we looked at certainty that comes from the love that we have for another person. So if you see this supernatural love that you start to have for other people, well, the Bible says then you can be sure that God lives in you. Because if God didn't, you wouldn't. Today, we're going to look at something even more extraordinary. I hate to say more extraordinary, but it's just when you get to talk about the Holy Spirit, you just get excited. Today, we're going to look at the evidence of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. And this work is evidence that we can truly see and know that we are children of God. So let's look at it. 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 to 14. 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. And God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the certainty that we receive from it, Lord. And Father, I pray that in this time we do not come to a place where we're plagued with doubt and unbelief, but Father, that we, your people, can stand strong, sure, certain, and unashamed of the gospel of Jesus. Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So family, the first thing we're going to look at today is we're going to look at the person and the work of the Holy Spirit and what He has done already for us and what He will continue to do for us. And then the last thing we're going to look at today is the person and work of the Son and how in this work that He's done, we can truly have life and life more abundant with this brief but glorious summary of the gospel. So our thesis statement today is this. The pattern of this world may continue to cast a shadow on all that the Lord has desired for us to clearly see. It is the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that will bring us into the light as He is in the light. And know that we are with Him forever. And know this. Be certain of this. All right, so we can be certain of this because of this wonderful gift called the Holy Spirit. Through the Spirit of holiness. So we saw last week, just real quick, how we find assurance that God is really with us because of the evidence of the love that we have for other people. When real love exists in our heart for other people, and let me say that again, real love, not what you think is love, right? Remember, I said I loved you, but I lied. When real love exists in our heart for other people, then we see that God truly lives in us. And now here in verse 13, John is making the important point that we have assurance that we are truly saved because God has given us His Holy Spirit to indwell in our lives. If the Holy Spirit is there, then life is there. More specifically, let me say it this way. We know that God lives in us. And we live in Him because we see the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Evidence of His work show that we abide in Him. All right, so we got that, right? We're all in agreement. So some people may be asking, what work are we talking about? I see a lot of things happening in our lives. Pastor Shane, can you help me see? What work do we see? Well, this is what we should be seeing. The Holy Spirit, let's talk about this really quick. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity who proceeds from the Father and the Son. For those of you who know church history, you know why. And the Son is super important. He was there from the beginning. Literally, from the beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. The Spirit of God, right there, in all creation. Who's involved in all creation, this wonderful, miraculous thing? Here we have the Holy Spirit. And it was also the Holy Spirit that was promised to us when Christ left the earth to ascend to heaven, right? Acts chapter 1, verse 5. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit was going to come. And the Holy Spirit was going to come in a way that was going to blow you away. Now, that's the thing that's amazing. You see throughout all of the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit working in lives of all these individuals. Now, the Holy Spirit was going to come and was going to fill and transform and influence all believers in Christ. That's a beautiful thing. Right? Because you think about it. Back in the Old Testament, you saw how the Holy Spirit filled and how the Holy Spirit empowered the priests in the Old Testament, the prophets in the Old Testament. Well, family, guess what? Now, as Christians, believers in Christ, we are now the priesthood of all believers, absolutely filled, influenced by the power of the Holy Spirit today. That's an amazing thing. This is what happened. I mean, look at what happened to the apostles when Christ died. When Christ died and people were looking at the apostles and they were running, they were hiding, they were denying Christ. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes and these men are absolutely transformed. On one hand, denying Christ. On the other hand, dying for Christ. And now, the ongoing ministry of the Holy Spirit, applying salvation that Christ achieved on the cross to us by bringing glory to Christ. For many of us will think, okay, Shane, I'm thinking about the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. For many of us, the first thing we're probably going to go to is that moment where we were convicted of our sins when we heard the gospel for the very first time. And this is the thing that's amazing to me. I remember the first time my grandmother shared the gospel of Jesus with me. It was like, that was one of the things that I felt very, very strong in my heart,
was that thing called conviction. I was convicted. The ongoing ministry of the Holy Spirit when we heard the gospel for the first time. And we know this because John chapter 16, verse 8. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment.
I'm sitting there, my grandmother, you know, for at least I would say when I went to go visit my grandmother for this one particular vacation, she forced us to watch Jimmy Swaggart. And I remember the first couple of days, I'm sitting there and I'm watching. I'm dating myself, right? So now you guys know how old I am. We're sitting there watching. And I remember it was just kind of like, heard that. No big deal. Wasn't anything that was transforming at all. And then it was, you know, the next day we're watching it. Nothing happened. And then it was a moment when my grandmother actually sat down and explained the gospel to me. Heard the gospel for the very first time in family. She wasn't really saying anything different than what Jimmy Swaggart was saying on TV. But man, that moment, something happened. And my heart, it was like, how they say in the book of Acts, it was cut to the heart. And it cut, and it hurt, and there was a part of me that was just kind of like, okay, I'm definitely feeling convicted, I'm definitely feeling guilt, I'm feeling all this stuff. Yes, all these things that I've done, I can see now that it is against the law of God, and the law of God is the law of God, and all this stuff, and I'm feeling it. And I remember going, you know what, but I'm still going to be stubborn. I'm 13 years old, and I'm playing this stubborn game, you know. I'm still not accepting Christ into my life. I'm still not going to do this. And man, family, I cannot tell you. I left the table. My sister, you know, is praying, and my sister wants to give her life. And I'm just like, oh man, this is too much. Then I get up and I go to my room. You know, I'm just going to go to my room and I'm just going to sleep it off. Family, I could not sleep. Tossing and turning. I could not sleep. I could not let it go. There was this thing that was happening inside of my heart and this raging of the waters, and it just kept going and going and going and going. And I just remember it was like my sister was in the room. We're about ready to, you know, we're supposed to be trying to sleep, and I just wake up, I turn on the light, and I just say, God, I am sorry for the things that I have done. Lord, I repent of my sins. Please save me from this. Amen. I remember that. I can remember that just vividly in there. And right there in the basement of a pecan farm in Texas, in Midland, Texas. It's amazing where people get saved these days, right? And boom, it happened. And I'm crying out, and my sister grabs my hand, and she takes me up and wakes my grandparents up, and Shane just gave his life to Christ, and my grandmother's, oh my God. It is this wonderful, amazing time. But family, let me tell you something. When that happened, whatever it was that was there was gone. Man, wasn't there many of you can attest to this, say the same thing happened. This is that peace, right, that you felt. And that's the thing that we come to realize. And we care about how far we have fallen short of the glory of God. We feel bad deep down in our souls about what we have done and what we were planning on doing. And we even continue to this day, even feel the convicting in our hearts, the continued persuading of our guilt and the righteousness of the Lord. Family, that is a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's evidence that He is working in you, evidence that He is working in me through the Spirit of holiness. We know that we are in Him and He is in us. So anytime I'm like, any in my life, I'm going, well, I just don't know if I'm a Christian. I don't know if I believe what I believe. Well, let me tell you something. I could think back to that moment with that conviction that was happening within my heart. And I know, oh family, I know that the Holy Spirit was working in me. But you know what? Something happened even before all that. Because let me say this. Dead people, they don't feel conviction. Did you like that? Some of you did. Dead people don't feel conviction. Dead people don't repent. Dead people can't have faith. So something actually had to happen in me, in you, before that moment came. Something had to happen. This is the thing that we refer to as regeneration. Regeneration in bringing to us life, filling us with spiritual life so that we can be convicted, we can repent, and we can have faith. Regeneration, in other words, born again. Now, I wasn't feeling any of that. There wasn't any feeling of conviction, any need or desire to repent or anything like that. There's none of that. Because I was dead in my sins, dead in my trespasses. The Bible makes that very clear. You are dead in your sins. But John chapter 3, verse 3, John chapter 3, verse 3 says this, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, see, we always stop there. I don't know why we always stop there. Unless you are born again, stop there. Here's the key. He's saying, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. You can't do it. You can't even see the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. You can't see that unless you are first born again. Unless we are first touched by the Holy Spirit until the Holy Spirit gives us life. John chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. John chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So family, today, if you say, I see the kingdom of heaven, that's because the Spirit worked within us. So now we are born again. And because we're born again, we can see the kingdom of God. We can see it. We can see all that's involved in it. We can see the law of God. We can see the gospel of Jesus. We can see the need for conviction. We can see why we feel guilty. We understand now why we feel guilty about all these things. Now we know and we believe that Christ, we have all this faith and believe and trust in the Lord. But we didn't have that before. Why? Because we were dead in our sins. So family, here it is. I'm going to drop a bomb here today. This is why the boat illustration to get saved, which I hear all the time, it's why it doesn't work. What's the boat illustration? You're out in the boat, you're drowning, and here comes God and his gospel, comes pulling right up to you, right? Repentance is looking back and looking, oh my gosh, I'm going to die if I'm floating out here in the deep. Faith is reaching out your hand to God who's in the boat, reaching out his hand to you so that you can grab a hold of God and be saved. This is the reason why that illustration doesn't work. Why? Because you're dead. You are not floating in the water going, huh, I wonder if I'm going to live or die. No, we're not floating in the water wondering if we're going to live or die. We're dead. We're floating in the water like this. Can dead people look and see their surroundings and think that they're in trouble? No. Can dead people reach up their hand in faith to grab a hold of God? No. So what is it? I'm going to tell you what happened. We're floating in the water dead, and our loving Heavenly Father, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son, he looked down, saw a dead body floating in the water, and he reached down and grabbed us, pulled us into the boat, and breathed life into us. I tell you what the response is going to be. The response is, man, oh, thank you. If we reached up and we grabbed, oh, thank you. I'm so glad that you were here. I'm so glad that, you know, that you were here to save me and, you know, all this stuff, man, appreciate it. You're dead. He reaches up, grabs you, pulls you onto the boat, breathes life into you. I guarantee you the response is going to be something more like falling to your knees and thanking him for life and life more abundant. I mean, come on, family. Our Heavenly Father is not up there as an equal opportunity government employee. That's not what he is. You know what our Father is? A Father. So let me rephrase to you this way. The Father, God, who loves us so much that he gave his only son, was in the boat and he looked down and saw his child laying unconscious in the water. Dead in the water. What father is going to be like, well, should we give him an opportunity to be saved? Gets his wife, hey, mom, come over here. Should we? And mom's like, I don't know if we should save him. Fathers, mothers, is it even a thought? It's instinctive, isn't it? You recognize that that's your child. You are jumping in there if you have to. I.e., became flesh, dwelt among us. Man, our Heavenly Father jumped into the water to save us. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. You know this, and you recognize and can see the love of God because of this. And not only just recognize that he's the God, the living God, but also now look up and say, Abba! Not just the living God, but our Heavenly Father. Wow. This is what happens when the Holy Spirit comes and breathes life into us. But you know what the amazing thing is about this too? Regeneration, when that happens, when you are born again, that's just the beginning. Everything that I just showed you, everything that I just shared with you is just absolutely, yes, we can rejoice and we can praise the Lord and cry hallelujah for everything, but that's just the beginning. The work of the Holy Spirit continues. Do you know what else he does? He gives us power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, through Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, let me tell you something here. When we read this, when you read this from now on, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, receiving power, and you, listen to what he's saying here, you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This wasn't a command. Here we go. Just let me finish before you try to throw me out of the church. This wasn't the command. In a sense, this was the prophecy. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and when he does, this is what you're going to do. And you know what? The rest of the book of Acts is the fulfillment of that actually taking place. Amen. So here's the thing. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And he didn't say, hey, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, this is what I want you to do. No, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and let me tell you what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. So you saw the success of this directive. When you go all the way to the end of the book of Acts and you see the things that happened with the Apostle Paul, do you see how far the gospel had spread to that time? To the ends of the earth, family? Because we see that this really did happen in the book of Acts. And it was a success, not because of the abilities and the strengths of the apostles, but it was because the Holy Spirit came upon their lives.
And I think sometimes when we look at life and we look at circumstances and situations, when we're looking at even COVID-19 and all the stuff that's happening in our culture and society and all these things that we're wrestling with right now, we get discouraged and we just feel oh, like, man, I just don't know if I can do this. I just don't know if I can take another step. I mean, just think about that. What if, here it is, no Holy Spirit, and Jesus comes to the apostles and disciples, they're all still scared, they're all still nervous, they're all still terrified of dying, all of this stuff, and they're all just still kind of in their own way. And then Jesus says, here's the thing, guys, I need you to be my witnesses, and I need you to take the gospel, and I need you to go to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And it's just like, oh, man. It was hard enough to just do Jerusalem. We got to do Judea too? Samaria? I can't stand Samaritans. Are you out of your mind? And I think that's how we feel today. We're looking at everything that has to be done. We listen, hearing the commands of Christ, hearing the things that he wants us to do in loving our enemies. You mean I have to love somebody who's of a different political party than me? I have to love my neighbor who steals my newspapers in the morning. I have to do these types of things. I have to wake up and I've got to go to church. I've got to do this thing. I got to be nice to people. I got to give up money and a lot of money that I don't have. I got to do all of these types of things because the Lord is commanding me to do this. Family, we're forgetting one very, very important thing. The Spirit will give us power. Amen. To do these things. And the apostles were able to do what they did because the Holy Spirit came upon them and gave them power to do these things. Man, family, we are able to do the impossible. And you know, and sometimes, and I'm not saying that this is wrong or anything like that, but sometimes I feel like when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we get so enamored and we get so captured in this mentality of when we talk about power and we talk about these types of things, we always want to see it when it comes to just general miracles, things like healing, walking on water, raising the dead, multiplying fish, speaking in tongues, prophecy, all of these types of things, these extraordinary gifts. Sometimes I feel like when it comes to the empowering of the Holy Spirit, we think that's the only thing he's giving us power for. Okay? I feel like this is where we're just only getting just a little bit of what the Holy Spirit does. And we saw the miraculous throughout the book of Acts of what the apostles did. Yes, we saw the miraculous, but family, we're missing out on a big part of what the Holy Spirit does and the miraculous things that we see. Things like the Holy Spirit giving us power so that we can love our neighbor. The Holy Spirit giving us power so that we actually can lay our life down for another person. That the Holy Spirit can give us power for us to be able to love our wives and wives so that you can have power, so that you can actually respect your husband. Here's the thing, man. Jesus is calling us to do some extraordinary things. Just in general life. You know how hard it is to give when you don't have a lot? That's hard. How hard it is to love an individual when they're not lovable. You know, I'm not trying to put down the extraordinary, but here's the thing. The thing, one of the big things that the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit opens up our eyes to see that we can do all things through Christ who give us strength. That's the secret of being able to be content in any and every situation. Do you know how powerful contentment is? And we live in a society where contentment is bad. You know why? Because do you realize that contentment is bad for the economy? I think that the Dow would collapse if all of a sudden everybody was just content with what they had. to know what it's like to be in plenty, to know what it's like to be in want, and to know that I can overcome all things because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's Paul saying, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. That's the Holy Spirit giving us power to be content. You know, that's why sometimes it's like, hey, Pastor Shane, man, I just really, really need you to the Holy Spirit needs to work in my life, and I need somebody, you know, with the gift of faith to pray over me so that I can get, you know, I think I'm needing like maybe $5,000 to make it through the next month. And I need this miraculous power from the Holy Spirit. Now, can the Holy Spirit do that? Absolutely. Just nut, boom, done. But you know what ends up happening sometimes? What happens next month? Oh, can we do the prayer thing again? That was great that I got the 5,000 last month, but I need 6,000 this month. And then I need 7,000 the next month. And then I need this. And I need God to do this. And I need more of this. I need more have. And this thing is, it's just like, sometimes I feel like these things are just feeding the real problem. And the real problem is that we're not content. We can't be content. It's difficult for us to be content. It's hard for us to be content. And we need the power of God to come into our lives, to open up our hearts and our minds with the power of the Holy Spirit, not giving us what we want, but showing us that with Christ we have everything already. That's why I just think that one of the worst sins we can commit as Christians in our life today is to be discontent in life. How can we be discontent in life when we have everything that we ever need? We have it all already. Oh, but Shane, you just don't understand, man. Bills, man, bills. These are big monsters, man. These bills are big giants. These things come in, you know, there's all these things that happen in life, man. Gas prices are going up. You know, back in the day, man, I used to be able to go and buy some steak at this price. Now it's double the price. You know, I think they're gouging us during this time. I mean, there are situations, there are circumstances, there are problems. But man, let me tell you something, family. I've seen these kinds of needs in the church, and here I am. Well, I'm thinking of three examples that happened in Hawaii. Here I am, over 12 years removed, and they're fine. Man, there were people that I saw in life, you know, as ministering, and I'm just like, you know, I'll be really praying for God, and the big miracle that they've been praying for didn't happen, but you know what? They're fine. You know what I'm talking about? It's funny how this happens. And they're all upset and they're mad because, you know, I just really needed this to come through. I really needed this to happen. I really needed God to come through for me here. And he didn't. And here we are 12 years later looking back and going, I think God came through for you. It's amazing how a lot of the stuff that the Holy Spirit really needs to do in us is to change us, transform us, help us to see that all we have and all we need is already given to us, and we have it in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? We're co-heirs with Christ. Co-heirs with Christ. Do you guys have any idea what Christ is going to inherit or what Christ has inherited? Everything. You know? Everything. Everything. And we're co-heirs with Christ, which means that we're going to inherit everything. Everything is ours, family. All of the stuff that's happened, it's all ours. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. All authority has been given to Christ. And right now we're going through this time because what's happening? Because Christ is sitting on the throne and our heavenly Father is making all of his enemies his footstool. And we, as his people, are part of that. We are part of the process. And family, as kings and queens of the kingdom of heaven, don't you think that we probably need to be trained
Do we realize that we're going to rule even over angels? Come on. And so we're training. We're learning. God is equipping us. The Holy Spirit is equipping us. The Holy Spirit is teaching us. He's illuminating these truths to us so that some fool is not going to sit on a throne in heaven. All right, let me get back to the sermon here. Family, and here's the big, big important piece here. He's going to bring glory to Christ. Well, but Shane, I thought you were talking about the Holy Spirit doing things in us, not giving glory to Christ. See, that's where we make a big mistake. The Holy Spirit wants to do things in us so that we bring glory to Christ. And all he does in applying salvation to us, family, we've got to know that Christ is the point of it all. He's the reason for it all. Christ is the point of the Scriptures. Christ is the whole reason for the Scriptures. You search the Scriptures because in them you think you find eternal life, but what does Christ say? But it's they that bear witness of me. They bear witness to Christ. The one to bring glory to Christ is the Holy Spirit. And when he opens our eyes, he helps us to see and to recognize Christ, because the Holy Spirit wants to bring glory to Christ. He wants Christ to be glorified. And anything that can happen in his life, anything that happens in our life, when it brings glory to Christ, it is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And be like, man, you know, Christ was glorified in this situation. And as a pastor, sometimes I'll tell an individual, man, Christ was really glorified in this situation. Be encouraged. Be assured. The Holy Spirit is in your life. The Holy Spirit is working in your life. Therefore, one of the greatest statements I can make for your life is this. You can know for sure that you are in God and God is in you. Be sure of that, family. Know that for certain. The work of sanctification continues to happen in our lives. And let's go back to the scripture that our elder, Don, that he read today. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 23. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 23. Before the Holy Spirit was working within our lives, we follow the desires of the sinful nature. And when we do that, the results are clear. Sexual immorality. You know, and I want to stop there because I want to just tell you this. When I was young, even at 13 years old, the plan for me was, hey, I've got the solution for divorce. What I'm going to do is that we're going to try it out. So before I get married, I'm going to try it out. That was the plan. Oh, yeah. That was the plan. No thought. Family, you know what that is? Sexual immorality. And it wasn't a conviction thing I felt, it wasn't anything like that. It was just what you do. And nobody who wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit at that time, anybody was like, oh yeah, it sounds like a good idea, Shane. Yeah, divorce rates are so high, probably try it out. Yeah, live with a person first. Impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility. Yeah, hostility, that was always a thing. And did it really feel bad about, you know, saying bad words to people when you're in traffic? Even when I was 13 years old, I wasn't even driving and I hated traffic. Quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will never inherit the kingdom of God. So think about life before the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Many of you would say, hey, yeah, that's life. That's how life was. You know, some of you growing up in the 60s, I know. You don't have to confess to me. I know. before the Holy Spirit in your life? Yes, I know. I got all that stuff. I get it. I understand the parties and the division, the drunkenness, the jealousy, the anger, the fighting, the sexual immoralities, all that type of things. You know, again, it's not much different in any of these generations that happen. All in our ways, this is what happened. One day we're at the club, you know, doing our thing, dancing, having our good time, all that stuff. Don't feel anything. That's just what life is like. This is what life is like for those who follow the desires of their sinful nature. But then the Holy Spirit comes in, bang, and everything changed. And the Holy Spirit produces fruit. Oh man, the Holy Spirit produces fruit in our lives. And all of a sudden in our life, we see love. We see joy. We see patience. We see kindness, gentleness. We see self-control. And when you look at your life and you say, yes, I see this fruit in my life. The reason why there's fruit in your life is because the Holy Spirit is working in you. And if the Holy Spirit is working in you, then you are in God, and God is in you, and that is a fact. He wants us to be certain of it. This is what John is saying in this whole passage of Scripture. Holy Spirit's working in you? Then know, this is your proof that God is in you, and you are in God. Because Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And then here in verse 14, after he gives us this proof, we see this profound statement that catches the beauty of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And that's a profound statement, because for many of us, before the Holy Spirit came into our life, before Christ came into our life, we didn't even think the world needed saving. I didn't think I needed saving. Some of my family members didn't think that they needed saving. I remember when they were like, hey, Shane, I just heard that you're like some kind of, you know, preacher now. You know, yeah, and all this stuff, and, you know, and I've been going to seminary and all this and learning, and be like, oh, yeah, that's good, that's great. You know what? I need you to go preach to your nephew. Or go preach to my son. Go preach to, you know, my cousin. It's funny. We don't think we need it. We don't think we need saving. And here we see the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And family, it doesn't take much honest reflection to see how true that statement really is. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. Ecclesiastes 7, 20. Not a single person on earth is always good and never sins. The wages of sin is death, and there's nothing we could do to pay for it. There's no hope in the skill and intellect of mankind to overcome this reality. If man was going to be saved, then God would have to make a way. And he did it by sending his Son to come into the world to take the burden of the sin of the world, to be the Savior of the world. Amen. Yes, there is a way today, because Jesus made the way. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he was buried and he was raised on the third day, all according to the Scriptures. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. John wrote his gospel so that we would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing we would have life in his name. There it is, a whole gospel summarized in that one statement right there. When people say, hey, Christian, what is the gospel? We don't have to struggle. You don't have to worry about trying to get Pastor Shane on the phone or get some text. Hey, can you tell me the gospel really quick? I'm talking to somebody. You just asked me a question about the gospel. You don't have to do that. You don't have to go to YouTube to find out really quick.
It is right there. What's the gospel? Right there. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world.
And we believe, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and now He dwells in us. We will evidence, with the evidence of the spiritual life, with love in our hearts, family, we see the fruit of the Spirit in our hearts. We see the mortification of the flesh, vivification of righteousness within our lives. Holiness will be apparent in our lives. And why not? Because He is the Spirit of holiness. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.